Now, our lead story this morning is looking at the latest developments around Bain & Co., the consultancy firm accused of helping to facilitate state capture. As you will have heard many times before on this show in particular, whistleblower Professor Athol Williams has described how Bain engaged in corrupt practices relating to contract with the SA Revenue Service. Last month in August, we saw British authorities agree to stop Bain from conducting business on their shores. And now in South Africa, National Treasury has issued a 10-year ban on the company from doing business with the state. In other words, Bain may not tender for any public sector contracts whatsoever with immediate effect, and that ban remains in place until early September 2032. To respond to that, on the line with me, Nicole Fritz, who's director of the Helen Suzman Foundation and has written extensively about this, most recently an opinion piece on Business Live. Nicole, great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning to the listeners. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. How significant is this development in your eyes?
No, it's very significant. It's to be welcomed. Obviously, the fact that the UK had imposed a similar ban, led the way. Mm. Ultimately, though, we want to see our authorities, our institutions, taking the lead in ensuring accountability and remedy for what happened during the state capture years. This has to be only the first start, though.
Yeah.
The evidence on the public record suggests that there has been unlawful conduct, that crimes have been perpetrated in terms of securing the contracts for the restructuring of SARS. There was an enormous amount of damage that was done. A world-class institution was hollowed out.
Yeah.
We saw a huge under-collection in revenues almost immediately. And the investigative and enforcement capacities within SARS that were directed at crime, those were hollowed out, and yeah, we saw a spiraling of the type of activity that capacity was intended to address. So what we'd want to see is prosecutions, and we'd want to see payment of damages that are proportional to the extensive harm that was committed to SARS and to the public of this country.
Yeah, that's what everybody would like to see, apart from Bain themselves. Nicole, they've been quite defiant about their role in state capture. I mean, both the Zondo and the Nugent commissions have heard very compelling evidence about their role in that dismantling of SARS, or hollowing out, as you so rightly point out. Remind us sort of what degree of admission they have conceded to or apologized for to date.
Well, they say that they've made mistakes, and that their work was unwittingly used to perpetrate harm against SARS. But the attitude they take is, ultimately it wasn't something that we did deliberately. But of course, we know that that's not true. We know that Bain essentially conspired with Mr. Moyani, as long as 18 months before Mr. Moyani ever officially took office, to restructure SARS, to essentially purge from SARS those who were known to be independent-minded, professional, effective civil servants, and to put in play cronies. And we assume that was in order to ensure that the capacities of SARS were hollowed out, that to protect certain criminal entities, and to ensure that particular people weren't then subject to SARS's tax requirements. So we know that, and of course we have Nugent's. The Nugent Commission say what we have concluded is what we would describe as a premeditated offensive against SARS that was hatched in the local offices of Bain and Company, and that what was being planned and hatched was not simply succession in public service.
Yeah.
And so the Nugent Commission and the Zondo Commission, as you've already said, established quite clearly that there was unlawful conduct, and there is investigation. I mean, there are recommendations from both those commissions that the National Prosecuting Authority look to investigate with a view to prosecuting those who were responsible for criminal conduct.
I know I've seen a statement from the managing partner of Bain in New York really dismissing the allegations, using the term inflammatory claims by armchair commentators. As you've just pointed out, Nicole, it's a lot more than that. It's entire commissions of evidence making a very compelling case that indeed there is more to this than sorry, we made a mistake. The company adamant there's no evidence of collusion, etc. As you say, it's one thing to say, well, we believe what we've heard at the commissions, and as Treasury, we're going to say we won't do business business with you. But how confident are you that the arrests and the financial compensation may follow? I mean, we have in the last month seen a couple of people arrested and appearing in court, Brian Molefe, Anush Singh, etc. Baby steps on what needs to be a longer journey. Does that give you hope that we might well get there eventually?
I mean, obviously, we hope that will be the case. I mean, we would like, from what is on the public record, it does seem that there is, a large amount of very credible evidence which would support potential prosecutions. And the question is why it hasn't yet happened. But what, organizations such as ourselves have done is that if investigative and prosecuting authorities here in South Africa won't act, and ideally they should be the first to act. They must. Mm. They should be taking the lead. There are jurisdictions such as the United States with their laws like the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which might potentially be used in order to try and secure accountability. And so to look to have the legal systems in other jurisdictions supplement those of our own in South Africa in order to secure accountability for the restructuring of SARS, the illegality that went along with that, and the damage that was performed, which, as I say, was massive to the South African public.
Yeah, as you say, Nicole, one would think that that would be a process that should be led from within South Africa, not having to resort to asking other foreign countries to do it for us. But those are the options on the table. Before we let you go, I believe we've got a listener voice note commenting on the story, which I'd like you to listen to and perhaps respond to.
Morning, Papa. Weren't they just start up another company and have their connections tender as well? I mean, it seems fairly simple to me. I mean, if I had a company that was banned from doing anything, I'll just shut the doors and open up another one. I mean, it's like people do it all the time. So can they not do that?
Great question, Nicole. What do you know about the nature of the ban? Is it that possible that that might well happen?
Look, I think what I understood from this is that they are looking to actually begin a process against the directors themselves. So those individuals, in whatever vehicle they're trading in would then be prohibited. But of course, I mean, what we saw with state capture, and it's not exclusive to Bain, is that we saw these blue chip companies that are marketed around the world and market themselves around the world as these incredibly prestigious blue chip entities, and that's how they buy their goodwill and their influence. And the fact is, of course, that a brand like Bain, not just allowed, but deliberately planned in the use of its brand to dismantle an institution like the South African Revenue Services. And that brand must be known and recognized for the unlawful conduct that it performed in South Africa, that it was a central protagonist in one of the most egregious chapters in our state capture years. And I think that is important.
So do I. Nicole Fritz, thank you for articulating it so well. Director of the Helen Suzman Foundation.